Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're really, really happy to welcome NBA champ, the former number one overall pick of the NBA draft, a guy who called the Golden State Warriors home for a while. He is back in Australia where he is leading thoughtful efforts to protect players, and that's why we wanted to talk with Andrew Bogut here on 95.7 The Game. Andrew, welcome to Damon Ratto and Kolsky. It is a pleasure to talk to you. It hadn't been since the last playoffs where we had a chance to chat with you. Thank you very much for joining us. We have a lot to get into with you today about, but let's start with what's most important. How are you feeling? How is your family right now? And how are things down in Australia? Please tell us.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. At least for me, good morning. But yeah, it's been an interesting time in the world, I guess. I feel like we're about a week behind you guys over there. So we've gone into a kind of subtle lockdown at the moment where non-essential travel has been strongly advised against. So yeah, mainly just staying home with the kids and making sure that, not so much us getting sick as much as, keeping the community safe and not trying to spread this thing around. So I hope most people are listening, but obviously there's many that aren't, and there's still people getting about. So we want to just make sure that this all kind of dies down in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, and then we can kind of reassess from there.
I wish we had a nationwide agreement to shelter in place, but it seems like we got state-by-state choices being made, and that's a whole other conversation that we know you're not here to have, Andrew. The conversation we really want to have with you is about what you did and your teammates and your opponents did to basically turn around and tell the NBL, the National Basketball League, chief basketball league down in Australia, that the finals that you were in the middle of, which I guess were being contended without a crowd in attendance, after a couple of games, you and the other team had a meeting and just said, we can't do this. This is ridiculous. And it looks like player power was definitely making the decision down under.
Yeah, first and foremost, it wasn't their team. It was just basically us. We were kind of left on our own devices. And for those probably not familiar with the situation, it was a five-game final series. It was us versus Perth. For geography purposes, Perth to Sydney is equivalent of Boston to LA or New York to LA. So it's a cross-country flight. And our five-game series is one home, one away, one home, one away, one home. So we had got to, we played game one as per normal. We lost that one. Then we went to Perth. And then basically the morning of our organization basically pressured the league to have no fans of that game, much to the detriment of the other team who weren't too happy about it. But then we ended up winning that game and then flew back the next day to Sydney for game three. So it was 1-1. We were still very skeptical about, traveling backwards and forwards. We ended up losing that game, so we're down 2-1, going back to Perth. And then we had a meeting on that Monday morning, which went for about 3 hours. And I went into that meeting thinking, look, we're okay to play. Everything's okay. We should be good to go. And I came out of it with a bunch of other guys that thought it was inappropriate to travel across the country again with everything going on. And We have three American imports as well that were, stressing about whether they would be able to get back into America. We know borders were shutting down, flights were kind of getting lower by the numbers. We got a kid from Brazil, so there was a lot of factors that went into our decision, and It wasn't just the fact that we could possibly get sick. It was the ramifications of us traveling around the country. And come to the knowns now, basically every league in Australia is shut down. They've locked the borders of that state where we were playing, Western Australia, so we potentially could have been stuck there. So I think we made the right decision, even though it was a very hard and emotional decision. There was a lot of tears in the room. As a professional athlete, it kind of felt like, in a way, we were giving up. But looking back, I think we were the forerunners of setting the example for what a sporting organization should do.
How much pushback did you get from league officials on this? Not that it would have made any difference once you came out of that second meeting, I presume, but was it an easy sell for them, or did they try to fight you on it?
Oh, it definitely wasn't an easy sell. Look, they were throwing out different scenarios after we'd made the decision. But, our owner is pretty strong-minded. Let's not forget, we lost a lot of money. So the way our league works is if you make finals games, it's kind of like the NBA in a way, that's where you make your money because your tickets go up and you really make a whole lot of money if you play finals. So we were giving up that, and our owner was fine with it. He was okay with it, and I think we pushed back to the league, and the league wasn't too happy about it. We weren't getting much support from the other team. The other team might have thought that we were engaging in some gamesmanship, trying to salvage the series because we're down 2-1, but couldn't be further from the truth. There was some pushback and some back and forth. And look, it's unprecedented times with this happening. I don't think there's a written document of how to handle a coronavirus outbreak, but I'd like to think that we did a pretty good job and the league wasn't as prepared as they should have been. We ended up getting it done, and there's still some ramifications from days post that announcement. They ended up awarding the final series to Perth, which was the league's decision, which, we can't really control, which was a little bit frustrating because these things are never over till the final game. But we'll live with that result, knowing that we made the right decision for, ourselves, our family, and the community, and set an example, we believe, for other people to follow.
So obviously this is far from the most important thing, but I'm curious, given that it's something we might be watching at some point in the future, what was that experience like playing not just any game, but I mean a critical finals game in front of nobody?
Yeah, it felt like I was 12 years old again playing in Little League. The only difference being there was 18,000 empty seats in an arena. So, yeah, very, very interesting, especially after, it's my 15th year as a professional and playing in packed NBA arenas and playing in the Olympics, and then coming to a finals game with absolutely no people was kind of surreal. And I think it just, as much as you didn't want to think about what was going on in the world going into a basketball game, you want to try to have a clear mind, a focus on the task at hand. As soon as you came out for warm-ups, it reminded you what's going on in the world. And, it's a sad time right now for many, many people. And I think, it was strange in that sense, but on the other sense, it threw me back to being a kid. Like, it threw me back to being 11, 12 years old, and the only people in the crowd were kind of your family. And those were special times as well. So it kind of triggered mixed emotions for me.
Andrew Bogut here on 95.7 The Game. It's a pleasure to have him on, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. We certainly thank him for his time. Andrew, when you saw the NBA get the real scare of Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell testing positive for COVID-19, I really think that was as big of a domino as this entire subject has had to push people's sentiments and feelings over towards it and realize how important this issue is and how quickly it could be in your own backyard. In a weird way, I think that sports here in America has helped a difficult conversation go further down the road and reach more people. Do you feel the same way in Australia, that sports has been chief among the voices urging caution? And we all know that everyone in sports is here to make a buck. And if they're urging caution, boy, we all should.
I agree. I think, people look up to, whether you agree with it or not, people for some reason look up to athletes and sport as people that they model themselves after as idols and whatnot. And I think if you've got governments and state legislators, and whatnot, urging the community to stay home and not get out and about. It's absolutely silly to be, you know, traveling around the country playing a sporting game, wherever that may be. So I think for us to set the example, and I think the thing with the NBA that was most concerning for me was that, I after playing in the NBA for so long, I know the NBA does not like canceling a single game, let alone a season. So I've been involved in flying through snowstorms. We flew around a tornado one night to get to the next city. So things like that, because they absolutely don't want to cancel a game because it just throws a huge, you know, wrench in the works. So for them to cancel a season, you know, this was a pretty serious time, and I commend the NBA, and I think they were very, very proactive and aggressive with their decision-making and had their players, you know, well-being and the communities in mind. And that's I think, should be commended what they did. You know, they were basically the first league, you know, in the world, essentially, to just say, no, we're not doing this until we get more information and it settles down. And that's, you know, they should be commended for it.
Based on what you've just said, are you surprised that the top professional league in China is not only insisting that they're going to start again on April 2nd, but they're demanding that all players, including their American imports, return and play those games? Because that seems to be, again, out of step with where everybody else is going.
Oh, it is. It is, and it's not surprising. Without sounding crude, you know, they march to a different drum over there. And I have some friends playing in that league, and they're basically being threatened with suspension for up to 5 years if they don't report back immediately. Agents have been threatened with suspensions that they can't represent a CBA player if they don't force their players back. And these are pretty scary times worldwide. So for a league to come out and do that is pretty mind-boggling, very insensitive. And I think there'll be some backlash from that. But it doesn't surprise me, no. I mean, we just played in a World Cup in China 6 months ago, so people there are a little bit different, and the government basically rules. So what they say goes. There's no real freedom of making your own choice on things and being respected. It's kind of do as we say, or you're kind of out of the loop.
Just to jump back quickly to the Jazz thing, I know you and Joe Ingles have played on Olympic teams together. I know you know him pretty well. Were you in touch with him when that game was canceled, and do you have a sense of what the scene was like while they were testing the players and figuring out what was going on?
Yeah, I basically texted him as soon as I heard. So about an hour after I heard that the doctors and the trainers ran on the court and canceled the game, and just texted him to see what was going on, how he was, and he basically told me they were basically quarantined in the locker room for 4 or 5 hours post game. I think they got out of there just after midnight. And they all got swabbed and tested, I guess, as much as they could. And I don't think they had enough testing kits to do everybody, but they did as much as they could. And, they said it was just unknown. They were just literally just sitting in the locker room staring at each other. So pretty scary for them, you know, when you have a doctor and a trainer literally run on the court and stop a jump ball. Doesn't matter the circumstances, you're scratching your head as to, wait, what's going on? This isn't normal. So I think there was a lot of concern, and as we know now, a few of their guys have contracted it, which is crazy, considering that they obviously travel, you know, the nation playing basketball games and interact with fans and high fives and whatnot. That's when I think the NBA were like, we have a bit of an issue here, that there's probably more than one or two guys in our league that have it. And as we know, there's a fair few guys now that have been diagnosed with it.
Andrew Bogut here on 95.7 The Game. Andrew, how surprised were you to see the Olympics actually get postponed? That is the news today. There, whether or not it would be has been swirling for a while. Today, the Olympics came out and said, we'll see you in 2021. Knowing what you know about that competition, how much of a logistical nightmare is it to postpone an Olympics?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think that they made the right decision. I was kind of, you know, they left it till the last hour because, you know, the IOC doesn't like losing a buck, that's for sure. So they had to make that decision, I guess, with the way things were going in the world. But delaying it to 2021 is going to be very interesting because I know there's a lot of sports that have qualifications for the next phase of their World Cup in 2022 or 23. I know we have qualifiers for the FIBA Asia World Cup, which is in 22. So it's gonna really cause ripple effects throughout the world with sports. But at the same time, there are a lot of athletes that obviously fund their career and their lives through an Olympics, so they need those Olympic Games to get extra funding from sponsors or their nation or their government. So it's kind of a sad time for a lot of athletes around the world. But, yeah, I mean, if it's 21 and it goes ahead, I think that's the right decision. There's no way it could have been held off until, you know, August, September, October. I just don't see how that would have worked. And they come to their senses, you know, last minute and made the right decision.
How much of a sense do you have that the decision that you guys made with the NBL had to do with the ultimate postponement of the games in Aussie rules and the A-League soccer in Australia?
I think it definitely set the dominoes to fall. I think it was kind of, I think with our situation was, and our sporting leagues here, everyone was hiding behind the government, and we know why now. You know, if the government shuts something down, you then have a case for compensation either from the government or from your sponsors or whoever it is. So a lot of leagues were just playing that waiting game to say, well, we need the government to shut us down. Whereas we were kind of waiting for that same kind of thing, but it got to a point where, you know, we weren't making money playing those games with no crowd anyway. I mean, we needed the crowd to make profit in those final series. We need the crowd. So we're basically running those games at a loss anyway. So once the decision was to not do it, we didn't converse with the government or wait for the government's decision. We just made our decision. But I understand financially why some other sports kind of were trying to do everything they could to keep playing and get that tap on the shoulder from the government. And that's just the unfortunate reality of professional sports and money. And there is obviously more than just athletes that are affected by this. You know, the Australian Football League they just sent over 100 employees home for the time being till further notice. So there's journalists, there's people, the production crews for TV, there's people that work in the concession stands. You know, the ripple effect of this is greater than just 12 athletes playing basketball or 20 football players.
I'm going to take this to a relatively trivial place, but obviously as a member of several Warriors teams recently and a guy who was drafted number one overall to play the center position in the NBA, I think you kind of have a unique perspective on what the Warriors are looking at whenever they do have the upcoming draft looking towards next season, which is they got to find somebody who can fit into what they have and help them theoretically get back into championship contention. And certainly one of the guys on the board at that spot is a big. As someone who was a part of this Warriors team, what are your thoughts on how easy is it to fit someone in? And does it make sense to take a guy number one overall, especially a big guy, with the idea of we're going to work him into this Splash Brothers Draymond Green thing we have going on and try to take another run at it?
Yeah, interesting question. I think, you know, I think bigs and forwards on that roster obviously need to be able to play off the ball. You're not coming into that roster as a big and demanding 10 post touches a game or demanding, you know, the ball X amount of times when you got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on the perimeter and now, you know, Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green. So I think they need a utilities guy in that big spot, and they've had success with guys like myself and JaVale McGee and guys that don't need touches to be effective. They can play off the ball and still contribute. I think they'll probably aim for someone like that in that position that can probably pass the ball well, could probably, you know, they would like probably a stretch five as well that could knock down a three. But honestly, the way the Warriors like to play with Draymond ended up going to the five. I don't think the five is a beyond end all for them. I think they just need a serviceable, solid guy that can play 20 minutes and grab some boards, block some shots, be physical, and that's kind of it from the five spot. So I think they'll look towards that and maybe another utilities guy that can kind of do a little bit of everything.
Interesting you say that, because my next question is another guy who's a potential number one pick was playing in the NBL this year. How much LaMelo Ball did you see, and what do you think of him as a prospect?
Yeah, saw a little bit of him. He played real well against us one game. He has a great ability to get into the paint from the guard position, can handle the ball very, very well, and he's passing. I think his passing and playmaking is at an elite level already. Obviously, his jump shot, which has been talked about a lot, will determine on how well he goes in his career. I think it's very inconsistent from three, and it's kind of a herky-jerky shot that he'll probably have to have to fix, much like his brother has. His brother shoots the ball very, very well with New Orleans this season. So, yeah, I think his playmaking and the way he runs a team for a guy that young was really, really stood out to me. And defense obviously has to improve, but I think that'll change, you know, with coaching and development in a good NBA program. But look, he has a chance to be a number one pick or a top five, top 10 pick. So it's great for our league to know that he came over here and played, and we hope he does very, very well in the NBA.
Andrew, when we were promoting the fact you were coming on the show today, I was looking for you on Twitter and I couldn't find you, and I thought that was odd, and I found out why I couldn't find you. You've blocked me on Twitter. Andrew, what did I do? What did I do during the block?
Not really.
You blocked me on Twitter. Release me. Please, sir. Release me. It'd be great to talk.
I don't know what you did. You must have been talking smack to me, so I probably just got a little angry one night and blocked you.
That is on brand. You might not be wrong, but I tell you, I've always been a fan of what you've represented as a player, man, and I've always made the argument that early career injuries altered the career arc of a Hall of Fame NBA center. And I really, when you broke your leg 50 seconds into your Cleveland career, man, my heart went out for you. And I wonder, I know you had, a pregnant wife and reasons to go back to Australia, but I wonder, if not for that, might you still be in the NBA, Andrew?
Maybe I probably could have, picked up. I had offers to stay on vitamin deals and kind of be a journeyman, and I decided against that just because, like you mentioned, had a young baby at the time and planned on having another one, which we now have two. So it just didn't make sense for me to keep doing the 1 year thing and live it out of a suitcase. But I think the trajectory of my career honestly changed with my elbow injury in 2010. That was kind of my career year in the NBA, and made All-NBA 13 that year and put up some pretty good numbers and really felt like, my arc was going in the right direction and felt more and more confident every game. And then that elbow injury, basically almost severed my right arm, which is my shooting arm. And that's when things really kind of took a turn for the worst as far as shooting touch and all that kind of stuff. And my game went from being more offensive orientated to defensive. So, but at the same time, I've played 15 odd years or 14 in the NBA and had a wonderful career and won a championship with a great bunch of guys. So I can't be too bitter about how things are working.
No, whatever road brought you to the Golden State Warriors, I'm glad that you traveled here for us to watch all that and see it. You are such a great ambassador for the game of basketball, not just Australian basketball, but the global game. And we thank you very much for your time today, Andrew. Really appreciate it. And do me a favor. Unblock me so I can enjoy you during these quarantined times.
I'll do it now.
There it is. I'm free. Thank you very much. Andrew Bogut here on 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.